السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل نعمائه، والصلاة والسلام على محمد الرسول المبين الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اجعلنا منهم، آمين. We continue in our discourse and reflections on freedom and the pursuit of happiness. And just before the recess, we had finished establishing to a certain degree the nature of happiness and the source of happiness. And then we established the different types of nufus, of nafs, and that as human beings we are all subjected to those traits of those different personalities, if you will, and that therefore the ultimate aim is to attain the ultimate balance of nafs, in particular where the malaiki nafs dominates. This is the aim of every human being, the pursuit of happiness, the attainment of happiness rather. And the attainment of happiness is achieved through also achieving freedom. As we pointed out again, freedom is not an end in itself. As we had established, freedom is not an end in itself, but is a means for happiness. And obviously, since there are different types of happiness, we can therefore conclude that different types of freedoms leads to those different types of happiness. If I work on the freedom of the shaytaniness, I shall attain shaytani happiness. If I work on the freedom of the cattle-likeness, I shall attain freedom of cattle-like. If I work on the freedom of the predator, as free as a predator, then I shall be as happy as a predator. If I want to be as free as a malak, if I want my heart to be free, then I shall be as happy as a malak. And obviously, we agree that the, again, noblest happiness and the happiness most sought for as should be, and basically almost every human being who agrees on some of these premises, at least on the concept of angels and the concept of shaitan, would agree that I'd rather be an angel than a shaitan. And thus the freedom of the qalb attained through liberating ourselves and freeing ourselves from the rest of the nufus. From the rest of the nufus. My heart, as we had established before, is the one that knows God and that loves God and that connects with God and that connects with the source of freedom and the source of happiness. And that the nafs is the obstacle towards that pursuit and towards that attainment. And the khalq are an obstacle towards that pursuit and that attainment. And the dunya is an obstacle towards that pursuit and that attainment. There is either al-haq subhanahu wa ta'ala, all there is rather, all there is al-haq and al-khalq. Al-Haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Haqq, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Haqq, God, or Al-Khalq, the creation. In this most general terms, Al-Khalq involves and comprises the nafs itself, for the nafs is a creation, not a creator. It involves dunya also, for dunya is a creation, not a creator. So either I am free in the Haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I am enslaved in the Khalq or by the Khalq. If my heart, if my qalb, the qalb of the human being, is attached to other than the Creator, that's what we mean by lack of freedom. Because that will lead naturally, because of the states of the nafs, which type of nafs is the qalb attached to, will lead to the type of happiness we aspire for, and the type of society and civilization we desire and we build, and thus the institutions that attain that objective. So liberating the heart, freeing the heart from the stronghold of the cattle-like nafs, the predatory nafs, and the shaitani nafs, is the aim of the pursuit of happiness. Because, again, when the nafs takes the qalb takes the identity of any one of those nufus, then it is deprived and prevented from connecting with the source of happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be enslaved to a source that is not free. It will not be serving the one who is free, but the one who is himself or itself a slave, dependent upon the one who is free. And so here I remember Al-Imam Shaykh Abdul Qadir rahimahullah ta'ala, who said this: إذا مت عن الخلق قيل لك يرحمك الله وأماتك عن هواك. فإذا مت عن هواك قيل لك يرحمك الله وأماتك عن إرادتك ومناك. فإذا مت عن إرادتك ومناك قيل لك يرحمك الله عش حياة لا موت بعدها. He says رحمه الله تعالى, it means when you die from the khalq, it will be said to you, may Allah have rahmah on you. Like condolences. Condolences will be presented to you in this way. May Allah give you rahmah, and may He cause you to die from your hawa. That is the nafs. And when you die from your hawa, it will be said to you, Yarhamkallah. May Allah have mercy on you or on your soul, if you will. May you die from your will. And then when you die from your will, it will be said to you, Yarhamkallah, live forever. Live forever. Live forever. Live forever. For when we die from the khalq, that is from the created world, from the human beings in particular, from the things, from the toys of the world, from the possessions, from the belongings, it means that our hearts do not see them, as we pointed out yesterday and before, that our hearts do not see them when it comes to benefiting and harming, when it comes to giving and holding, when it comes to exalting and lowering, when it comes to fear and insecurity, when it comes to security and love and hope. We do not see them, meaning we do not see them independent from the Creator, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our heart sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not see them. In other words, when we reach that state, whatever the human beings do to us, for instance, and whatever things there are in the world, we are not affected inside. We're not affected inside by them. They are like being and not being, the same thing. لا نرى الخلق ترك رؤية الخلق في النفع والضرر والعطاء والمنع والرفع والخفض وهكذا والعز والذل وأنسان والضرر والنفع. If we die in this sense from the khalq, that is to be truly free from the khalq. To be constrained by the khalq is not freedom. For the khalq, the qalb wants to go in its quest for the source of freedom and happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being muqayyad, being held and restrained, the qalb, as the qalb itself, not the physical body, not our possessions, the qalb being held by the khalq, by being too conscious of the khalq, too worried, and by giving the khalq a value that doesn't belong to them, is in a state of enslavement of the heart, not a state of freedom of the heart. So when you die from the khalq, it's yarhamkallah, it's a congratulation, yarhamkallah, may this is rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then there is after that a prayer, a hope, may you die from your hawa, next the nafs. The greater hurdle is the nafs. And then it will be said to you, once you die from your nafs, once you die from your hawa, once you die from your hawa, that is, your hawa does not become anymore the guide to you for what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, what is moral and immoral, what is happiness and misery, what is freedom and what is slavery, what is beautiful and ugly. When your hawa, as we spoke about before, your nafs in general, including the shahwa in this case, are not anymore your guide. And that's much, much more difficult than the task of disengaging from the chains towards the khalq. Much more, much more difficult. One scholar said, rahmahullah ta'ala, it is easier to sculpt mountains with your own fingernails than to rid yourself of hawa when it has implanted itself in you. There is no greater battle, there's no greater battle than the battle of the nafs, the battle of the hawa and the shahwa for freedom. And then, when one is free from the hawa, and one is free from the nafs, that is, one died from his nafs and his hawa, or her nafs, or her hawa. Allahu Akbar. Then it will be said, Yarhamukallah, congratulations in a sense, you're in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another, more sophisticated and more exalted battle. May you die away from your own irada. From your own irada, your own will. Though some of us may understand this as comprising the nafs itself and the hawa itself, and that would be fine to understand it that way. But he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, he makes this distinction, because a burst of irada, because you can have, you don't have a hawa, but you have an irada. And an irada is consistent with that which is beneficial to you. And for example, you have to make a choice between three things, and they are all lawful, they are all halal, they are all pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any one of them you pick by your own will is not hawa. But he says, and you have an irada there. Your irada is to pick, let's say, from A, B, C, you pick B. And that is your irada, and an irada that is within the permissible framework of choice. But to die from your irada, it will be said to you, may you die from your irada. Then when you die from your irada, you have no choice. If you can imagine that. You have no choice. You have no will for any choice. Your qalb, now so free, will be moved not by you, by anything internal to you, but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they call fana'ul irada, the extinction of irada. And then when you die from your irada, then it will be said to you, Yarhamkallah, now live forever. Because now you are completely free. Live forever is live forever, because if one reaches that stage in this dunya, one is like already has entered the gate of Akhirah. One is living like almost in Akhirah. One has that yaqeen, has that certainty. That's what it also means. One has that certainty, that yaqeen of Akhirah, and about Akhirah, and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about Malaika, and about the malakut of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though the person sees that with his own naked physical eyes. So he or she is already there as far as their heart is concerned. So when he dies, what dies anyways is just the physical body that dies, and the soul and the heart goes in its ultimate journey, but the heart is already there. Do you understand? And that's why perhaps he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, the answer is now live forever. Because when this body goes and disintegrates, the heart is already there, and the heart after that lives forever. And of course we live forever in another shape of, you know, Allah ta'ala alim about the details, but our qalb simply extends its existence from here to there in, yes, greater delights. And that is ultimate freedom. The ultimate freedom. Yes, this teaches us that this pursuit of freedom seems to be an everlasting almost, as long as humans exist and ever. And that who would achieve such freedom in his or her own lifetime? Well, very rare, yes, are those who would achieve it. But freedom is not static as far as humans are concerned. There are levels of freedom. Freedom from the khalq, by the way, those whose pursuit of happiness is of the three lower nafsani type, they seek that with some type of freedom, which is true. Some type of freedom. Those who want to satisfy the cattle-like nafs, what does this mean? That means also they don't want any type of resistance, any type of of control and of chains and of discipline from the khalq, from other people that will deprive them of that. So they want to be free in a sense from some people. But of course, only sometimes. But that can never happen. That actually will make them even further enslaved to people, because they would need them, and they would feel in their hearts and minds that they would need them to attain more of those cat-like tendencies. But in a sense, there is some truth in that. That type of freedom of the self, of course, which type of self? Freedom of that type of self from the khalq in certain areas of life, such that the happiness of that nafs is maximized. But we as human beings, as Muslims, I'm sorry, as people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must understand that there is greater freedom than that. That there is greater freedom than that in the way we have already established, because of different types of nufus. Certainly the freedom of the nafs that is malaiki, if you argue that, at least ideologically and philosophically, with any person of other than the Islamic faith, with faith in God, a Christian or a Jew, for example, they must agree. They must agree. That, but oftentimes, as I said before, we are not even given the chance, some are not given the chance to think about what we are doing, actually. What does it mean? What are we really pursuing when we say happiness? So, we say that there is a greater happiness, a greater freedom, because there are different types of nufus, and there is not only the nafs, but there is the qalb. And this identity in the human being that oftentimes we confuse with the nafs. How many times have you heard yourselves or other fellow brothers and sisters or human beings when they speak of inner self? It is rarely ever distinguished from the heart, number one. When they speak of inner self, both mean the same thing to most of us. The nafs and the heart. My heart feels, or I feel inside. I love, I hate, I fear, I hope. And oftentimes, as I said before, that which I'm expressing, those bursts of emotions, whether they are love or fear or hope, they could be not heart, but nafs. So I love by my nafs, and I desire by my nafs, and I hate by my nafs, and I fear and I hope by my nafs, not necessarily by my qalb, because we have establish what we mean by qalb. If you stay, if you will, the qalb in its original state, in its pristine state, in its unadulterated state, is nafsul mutma'inna, or the opposite, or the nafsul mutma'inna, and nafsul mutma'inna is the heart in its unadulterated. My heart is not in harmony with my nafsul mutma'inna. My heart may be adulterated by the state of the other nufus. So when I say I love or I hate or I fear or desire or I want or this is what I know and this is true and this is false, by internal knowledge, that could all be by my nafs. There is nafsani hub. There is nafsani khawf. There is nafsani desire. As well as qalbi one. Which one is it? We're learning to discover that. And oftentimes, again, when you or I perhaps would say, I love or I hate again, it is my nafs, not necessarily my qalb. For example, if a person says, I love X and I love Y, and that X and that Y is a fasiq, man or woman, and my qalb fell in love with that fasiq man or woman, or my qalb fell in love with that thing, which looks beautiful, but is ugly spiritually, is defiling spiritually. Now, and there is that attachment, true or false, there are those things. Now, which one inside of me is loving? That's the nafs. That's the nafs and not that qalb. Yes, when I say, he or she might say, no, it's my heart, I know that. Of course, he or she doesn't know. But let's say, fine, it is your heart. You know which heart? The heart that is now one with your nafs. The nafs has taken over the identity of the heart. That's it. Ran. The qalb, the nafs has taken over the heart, and the signals of the true heart inside are not allowed. It's the signals of the nafs that come out. The qalb is to be distinguished from the nafs. The nafs is to be distinguished from the khalq, external human beings and so on. And each level is a deeper level, is a higher dimension, if you will. Going from the khalq to the nafs is going from one lower dimension to a higher one, to a more potential one, to a more concealed one, to an inner one. And then from the nafs to the qalb, it's even more inward. It's a higher dimension. The qalb is a higher dimension than the nafs. In particular, that we know that it is through the qalb that we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the nafs. The nafs is lower in dimension than the qalb. And the khalq are external dimension. And freedom is attained by doing usually what? When we speak of freedom of the self and people speak of freedom of the nafs, they speak of freedom from the khalq at some level. In other words, going from the khalq to the nafs, from the dimension of the khalq to the dimension of the nafs. And there is freedom. Some freedom as we defined it and established it earlier. But that's where they stop. Some human beings and some philosophers and some thinkers. But the qalb is a higher dimension. And therefore going to the domain of the qalb and satisfying the qalb is a greater attainment of freedom. Just like in mathematics it says, in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the world of physics, that again, the higher we go in dimensions physically, the greater degrees of freedom we attain. That's a theorem. Right? And an example I like to give to simplify this to our understanding in the physical world, again, if you have two-dimensional plane or a two-dimensional universe, the freedom of motion in that universe is only two dimensions. You can only move sideways. That's the only notion of motion. But if we moved from that dimension of two to a three-dimensional universe, to a higher dimension, then what happens? We can move in three dimensions. We have an extra dimension in which to move. We can move in a sphere now. we have a greater degree of freedom. So, when we move from the freedom of the nafs, or from satisfying the nafs, to the world of the qalb, which is a higher dimension, we attain greater freedom. Because it's a higher dimension in accordance to that law, if we extend it to the realm of the spiritual, to the realm of the nafs and the qalb, my dear brothers and sisters. Of course, part of that khalq that we are speaking about is dunya, is dunya, the world with its toys and its wealth and power, is a very powerful hold of the qalb from engaging itself with more resoluteness in its aim and in its destination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness. Dunya is part of this khalq, part of this created world, with again wealth and power, the two most powerful influence on the nafs of the human being. Wealth and power. Dunya. And yet all of that represents chains, a lower gravitational pull of the qalb not to soar in freedom towards its happiness intended for it, and therefore its freedom intended for it, and therefore its happiness. And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls dunya a prison. Talking about freedom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls dunya a prison. Ad-dunya, said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sijnul mu'min. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min, said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dunya is the prison, the jail of the mu'min. Subhanallah. And when you are in jail, what is your best wish? In prison, is to be free. To break loose and free from the walls of the prison. And dunya, he said, is sijnul mu'min. Al-mu'min, remember, al-mu'min who is in quest of true freedom. Al-mu'min who has a heart. Al-mu'min whose most fervent desire is to be free in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to experience in this world the freedom of being near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the joy and the solace and the comfort and the peace and the happiness of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He calls it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sijnul mu'min. Sijnul mu'min. And dunya are these possessions and power. The more we have of them in general, the more enslaved we are in our qulub. And then of course that has consequences, as we pointed out earlier, institutionally speaking, socially speaking, and so on and so forth. And we build the society on the basis of such philosophies. مالي وللدنيا, said he صلى الله عليه وسلم, مالي وللدنيا ما أنا والدنيا إلا كراكب أو راحل, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, استظل تحت ظل شجرة ثم راح فتركها. Look at the journey that he's talking about. He's talking about the journey, and that journey again is the journey of our قلوب. I am dunya, he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he's our model, is our supermodel, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We should walk in pursuit of freedom in his shadow, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He said, ma li wa lid dunya, what am I, or what relationship do I have with dunya? I and dunya is just like the example of a rakib or a rahil, a traveler. Remember, subhanallah, look at this parable he gives, a traveler. And a traveler is, we are travelers, aren't we? Everyone is a traveler. There are those who are moving and those who don't want to move. And there are those who are moving backward. Travelers we are, we like it or we don't. The qulub are either immobile or going backwards or going forwards in their quest for, freedom, in their quest for happiness. So Islam, just like a traveler who in his aim for his destination sees a tree with a shade, stops there for a little while under the shade and gets up and leaves to continue his destination. What does this mean? What is he telling us? That our relationship with dunya should be one of that type of traveler. That I should, when I stop under that shade, is to do what? Is to do what? To rest for what? So that I have some strength in order to continue my journey. Dunya should be therefore a means in that sense to attaining the destination of my qalb. Dunya must not hold me. I must not find that tree and then reside under that tree forever. For if I stay under that tree, I will never reach destination. And if I stay under that tree, by the way, it's very confining. I will not enjoy what is awaiting me of discoveries and wonders on the way, and the spaciousness of outside and away from that tree. لا لي وللدنيا ما أنا والدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت ظل شجرة ثم راح فتركها سيده صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Feeding the nafs from the element of dunya should be done in this way, in a balanced way, like one person, hafizahullah ta'ala, put it like this, the analogy between the rider and the horse. The rider and the horse. The rider needs to go to a destination, but he needs a horse. If the horse dies, he may never get to destination, but he does not become a horse himself. So if the horse is hungry or thirsty, the rider stops and gets the horse to graze, but the rider does not graze with the horse. The rider is we and our quest of our destination, and the horse is the nafs. The horse is the nafs. I should give the nafs enough to continue the journey, but not so that it rebels and runs away from me, or that it dies on the way. And I should learn to know how much the horse needs, and I should not become a horse myself. When the horse grazes, then I graze with the horse. I should not be, in other words, a nafs myself. I should always keep remembering that I am essentially and originally a qalb and not a nafs. The nafs was compounded on me for the sake of taklif, for the sake of challenge in this world. When we were in Jannah, before happened what happened, and before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us that nafs, we were in Jannah. There's no such a thing as disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no such a thing as disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was home. And we had to leave home because of what the nafs led us to do through the agency of shaitan. And we had to leave. We had to leave the home of freedom, the home of peace. And Allah says, you can come back, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can come back and live after that as a heart, as you always were, and at home, if in your journey back to me, this is what you do. This is what you do. And originally we were hearts, and I like to think about about this again in some beautiful way that subhanAllah, that even when Allah reminds us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that reality, if we think of being heart originally, even when we were in the wombs of our mothers, the first thing that forms in the womb of the mother, after the implantation period and the fetus starts forming, the first thing that forms is the heart. You are a heart inside the womb of the mother. You're a full heart, nothing else, just a heart, a beating heart. Can you imagine that? Subhanallah. Look at this wonderful, wonderful alama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are just a heart, a beating heart, nothing else. That's what embryology teaches. Just the heart. Come back to be a heart. Free yourself. Be just a heart without nafs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems to say to us, your quest from now on, I'm going to mount on you a nafs, physical body and so on. Remain a spiritual heart like you were originally, a physical heart only. Subhanallah. Let us stop here inshallah. It's 11 o'clock and we return in 5 or 7 minutes. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammadin an-nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.